Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to all of you, young and old, family, friends, and visitors. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. At this special service, when we celebrate the children and youth of our church with lots of music and singing, thoughtful words, prayers, and strawberry shortcakes. We'll begin our service with gathering music by our hand chimes players. Please join me in the call to worship. Let us worship God as children with wonder and awe. Let us worship God as youth with questions and eager hearts. Let us worship God as adults with thanksgiving and praise. Let us worship God as elders with wisdom and hope. Let us worship God as one body of Christ, with unity and love. Amen. Please join me in the unison prayer. Loving God, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the splendor of creation and the beauty of human life. Touched by your hand, our world is holy. Help us to cherish the gifts that surround us, to share our blessings with our sisters and brothers, and to experience the joy of life in your presence through Jesus Christ our Lord, forever and ever. Amen. Let us greet and welcome each other by sharing the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
The first lesson for this morning is a reading of Psalm 92. How good it is to give thanks to you, O Lord, to sing in your honor, O Most High God, to proclaim your constant love every morning and your faithfulness every night, with the music of stringed instruments and with the melody on the harp. Your mighty deeds, O Lord, make me glad. Because of what you have done, I sing for joy. How great are your actions, Lord? How deep are your thoughts? This is something a fool cannot know. Someone who is stupid cannot understand. The wicked may grow like weeds. Those who do wrong may prosper. Yet they will be totally destroyed because you, O Lord, are supreme forever. We know that your enemies will die and all the wicked will be defeated. You have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have blessed me with happiness. I have seen the defeat of my enemies and heard the cries of the wicked. The righteous will flourish like palm trees. They will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. They are like trees planted in the house of the Lord that flourish in the temple of our God, that still bear fruit in old age and are always green and strong. This shows that the Lord is just, that there is no wrong in my protector.
And from Luke 13, chapters 1 through 21. At that time, some people were there who told Jesus about the Galileans, whom Pilate had killed while they were offering sacrifices to God. Jesus answered them, "Because those Galileans were killed in that way, do you think it proves that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, indeed. And I tell you that if you do not turn away from your sins, you will all die as they did. What about those 18 people in Siloam who were killed when the tower fell on them? Do you suppose this proves that they were worse than all the other people living in Jerusalem? No, indeed. And I tell you that if you do not turn from your sins, you will die as they did." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was once a man who had a fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went looking for figs on it, but found none. So he said to his gardener, "Look, for 3 years I have been coming here looking for figs on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it go on using up the soil?" But the gardener answered, "Leave it alone, sir. Just one more year. I will dig around it and put in some fertilizer. Then, if the tree bears figs next year, so much the better. If not, then you can have it cut down."
One Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in a synagogue. A woman there had an evil spirit that had kept her sick for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called out to her, "Woman, you are free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and at once she straightened herself up and praised God. The official of the synagogue was angry that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. So he spoke up and said to the people, "There are 6 days in which we should work. So come during these days and be healed, but not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, any one of you would untie your ox or donkey from the stall and take it out to give it water on the Sabbath. Now here is the descendant of Abraham whom Satan has kept in bonds for 18 years. Should she not be released on the Sabbath?" His answer made the enemies ashamed of themselves, and while the people rejoiced over all the wonderful things that he did.
Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it with?" "It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed and plants it in his field. The plant grows and becomes a tree, and birds make their nests in its branches." Again, Jesus asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God with? It is like this. A woman takes some yeast and mixes it with a bushel of flour till the whole batch of dough rises."
Nope.
Ooh. Yeah, now. Hi. Is that good for you all out there? How are you? That was a great job singing. Very fabulous. So I have some things to show you, and I want you to tell me if you can guess my theme. So this is the first thing, a gift. Okay, a gift bag. Let's pretend it's a gift. And I have some streamers, and I have a balloon, and I have a kid. candle. Any ideas about my theme, Claire?
Party.
Mm-hmm. You're on the right track. Celebration. Is that what you were all thinking? Yeah, you're right. So this is Celebration Sunday. What kind of things in life do we celebrate? Yeah? Christmas. Good. Easter. Mm-hmm. Birthdays. Other people's birthdays. Ben? Halloween. Ballot? Yep, Santa Claus.
Lila?
Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. Any other ones? Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. Mother's Day. And Father's Day. Yeah. St. Patrick's Day. What about things like weddings?
Yeah.
Right? And baby showers? Things like that? Mm-hmm. Anniversaries? Oh, that's a really good list. So why is today called Celebration Sunday in our church? What are we celebrating? Not Father's Day, that's next week. Do you know, some of you have been here for a few years, so we know we do this every year around this time of year, right before summer, so we're kind of celebrating sort of the end of something. Yes, Palm Sunday is another celebration. Yeah? Yeah, we're ending spring. And Jessica? Yeah, we celebrate that too. We're ending, like, we're celebrating Sunday school and the youth program and all of the fun things that we do at the church. We're celebrating you guys, the kids, and the babies out there, and the teenagers and the youth. And we're celebrating fun events like Christmas crafts and crop walk and the Easter egg hunt and all those great things we did this year. And like the youth do things too, like the corn maze and their work trips and their pasta dinner. And then we're celebrating all the grown-ups who help us with all of that, because it's just not Diane and I that help with all of that stuff. A lot of your parents help and other people in the congregation help. And we're celebrating all of these programs. What it really comes down to is we're helping you all learn about Jesus and God. And one theme we've talked about a lot in children's worship this year is different people in the Bible and different experiences and special experiences they had and how we can learn from them. And we learned a lot about Jesus, didn't we? Would you agree that there's no one in this world like Jesus? And we've learned a song about that, haven't we? We have. So we're going to get set up and share with you a song that we have learned about Jesus and how there's no one in the world like him. All right, I'll turn off my. Get set up. Okay.
Thank you.
Should have just left it right on there. That was a great job. We've been practicing that song a lot, haven't we, in class? Okay. So, let's just end with a little prayer.
Okay, are you ready?
Loving God, today we celebrate each other, our church, our programs for the kids and youth, and all of the fun that we have together. But most of all, we celebrate Jesus. The song we just sang tells us that there is no one in the world like him, no matter how far we run or how hard we search. But as we have been learning together this year, there are many, many ways that we can be like Jesus. Please help us to see those ways and to live following his examples, and bless our efforts as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Hello? Hello? All right, this is a good angle? Okay. At the beginning of the gospel reading, it says that some of the people gathered around Jesus had told him about a group of Galileans who had recently been killed by the Roman administration in the midst of carrying out a sacrifice. Now, based on what he says after this, we can sort of imagine them either asking hopefully or thinking it in their hearts while recounting the incident to Jesus pleading wide-eyed. These were exceptionally terrible people punished for their sins, right? Such a thing would never happen to us, right, Jesus? Since the first thing Jesus does is say in a rhetorical question, well, they were perfectly normal people. They were even fairly decent, remembering God and sacrificing to him after all. Then Jesus does something he often does, which is shift the focus away from the distant third parties people like to talk about a lot, onto his listeners, and he tells them, since they're not any worse than yourselves, if you do not repent, you'll meet the same fate, or you'll find your end some equally horrifying way, like at the bottom of a falling tower. Now, since straight talking like that tends to get people frightened and confused, repent? How do I do that? What is this way by which I can save myself? Jesus right away tells a parable to explain things. God, he explains, will tend you and care for you so that you can change or repent and start bearing fruit. And since Jesus likes to use actions and not just words, he summons over a woman he sees who, like the fig tree, is bent over and wilted and dry. So, as he'd said he would in the parable, he right there digs up her stale soil and surrounds her with rich manured earth and mulches her and prunes her dead gnarled branches and gives her a rich drink of water, taking away her affliction on the spot. And right away, she starts bearing fruit by praising God. After that, Jesus encounters a different kind of tree, though. After seeing such a miracle and its fruits of love for the Lord, the respected leader of the synagogue goes about telling people such healing shouldn't be done on the Sabbath, presumably to the nodding of the synagogue's more Pharisaical members. This tree, having remained unfruitful even after being watered and tended with a sign, Jesus puts his tongue to the wet stone and quips him down in the public eye. And for it, the crowd rejoiced. Then finally, Jesus finishes off with two more parables, both about growth. One about a growing mustard seed in whose branches all the birds find their nests, and the other about growing yeast spreading throughout all of bread. Growth and gardening metaphors are everywhere in the Bible, especially in the Gospels, but they're spread all throughout. The Psalm read today, for instance, used it as its main theme. But that's not just because gardens are pretty and they make pretty metaphors. It's a deep reason for the use and reuse and almost codification of this image of God the gardener. On a real spiritual level, there's a serious connection between the human activity of cultivating plants to bear fruit and be beautiful to us, and the way God cultivates us to bear acts of righteousness in a beautiful world before his eyes. And it's not just that he's trying to shape us and grow us. Many of the methods are the same. When a tree or bush is rotted beyond all hope of recovery, you cut it off and throw it into a fire. But you don't do this just to spite the rotten tree. You take the ash, the tree's destruction, and use it to amend the soil so that the healthy plants grow stronger, and the plants that might be a little loose and have weak roots grow firm. When a tree grows a wayward branch, you prune it off so that the tree's branches that are growing straight really shoot out and make more fruit. When weeds and grass threaten your young seedlings, you tear them up and toss them into the fire to grow your seedlings into tall stalks with heavy sheaves of grain and pods of peas and beans. And when a plant has been left alone and died, as long as there's some living root left shining, even the smallest glint of white among rot, you can clear away its death and tell it live. God tends to us and cares for us in every way exactly as a gardener cares for his garden. And gardeners, I can tell you, truly love their gardens.
Thank you. Please join me in prayer. Thank you, God, for making the universe and all of us. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us God's love on earth and bringing us new life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to pray and sing and make a difference in each other's lives. O God of all grace, accept our prayers, we pray. We pray for the world and all its people. We pray for the sick and the hurt and the people who take care of them. We pray for places where there is war or conflict. We pray for places after floods and storms and tornadoes and other natural disasters, and for all the people who help them. We pray for people who are hungry and cold and without good houses to live in. We pray for people who love and who love us. O God of all grace. We pray, Jesus, for your church, for this congregation and all the people in it. We thank you for our children and youth ministry team and everyone who is a part of it, for all of the adults and children and youth who make it so good and so much fun. We thank you for everyone who has volunteered to work with our children and youth programs this past year. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for our worship and music and learning together. O God of all grace. We ask you to bless our upcoming summer season, that it may be blessed with plenty of sunny memories and lots of time to renew and spend time with those we love. Be with our church leaders and bless the New York Conference of the United Church of Christ as it meets this weekend to make decisions. Dear God, take care of everyone who needs your help and show us how to help others in your name. Thank you for helping us to love you and for loving us. O God of all grace. Remember the words of Lord Jesus, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Let us bring before God our offerings. Please join me in the unison prayer of dedication printed in your bulletin. This day we dedicate to you, dear God, our Creator. These gifts we dedicate to you, dear Jesus, our Savior. These hearts and hands and talents we dedicate to you, dear Spirit of Holiness. For we bring these things and pray these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Send us forth, O Lord, filled with love and hope and thanksgiving. May we do all the good we can in all the ways we can for all the people we can, while we can, in your name.
piano, that'd be great. Yeah, sure, just anywhere on the piano.
Unless you think it might inspire somebody in the Savage Club to organize
something. Well, I would pass it on.
Yeah, sure.
But you have
an extra. I don't need it.
Bunjo is what?